the way we wrap up a Thursday, first we lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline. And then when it's the final segment of Crunch Time, we do a little something we call this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's the lightning round on a Thursday because October's over and we want to eat candy. I don't have much prepared, but I'm ready for this lightning round.
I got my Milky Way, guys.
And you're eating Smarties, too,
yeah,
loser.
They're sour
Mr.
Smarties.
Mr. Marty, the rock and roll Smartie.
It's like being the biggest loser in the room.
They're delicious. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Uncle Dr. Nick.
Uncle Dr. Nick.
Uncle Doctor.
I was, okay, whatever, go.
All right. We're moving past the bad song and Uncle Doctor. As I mentioned yesterday in the Crunch Exchange, the NFL trade deadline was quite busy, specifically in the NFC East. The Washington football franchise added Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to their secondary. The Eagles added Golden Tate for a third rounder, making the Dallas Cowboys trade for Amari Cooper look beyond ridiculous. The Giants also made some trades, but they're doing so to get away from winning. Washington is atop the division at 5-2, the Eagles and Cowboys trailing at 4-4, and then 3-4. I am 100% certain that whoever ends up winning this division does so falling over themselves at 9-7. Who wins the NFC East, Washington, Philly, or Dallas?
The problem is, while Alex Smith has not discovered Stella and found his groove just yet, their defense is really good, and they just added Dix. I don't trust I may trust Philly. They played them. Oh, they play him twice. Oh, wow. They play him twice in December.
Ugh. Those are both going to be on NBC, aren't they? And they're both going to
finish.
The
one's on a Monday.
15.
One's on a Monday.
Oh, God.
And then it's Sunday, the end of the season. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think Philly turns it around and wins the division.
As I mentioned, Golden Tate and Amari Cooper both being traded to the NFC East. There's also Demaryius Thomas, who moved to the Texans. All three of these wide receivers seem to get a big upgrade from the team that they left. Tate is going to be the slot guy for Philly, along with Alshon Jeffrey. Demaryius is now going to be having Deshaun Watson throw him the ball, and Amari Cooper gets an update from getting away from John Gruden, but he also might just be bad. That could be his bigger issue. Which one of those three traded wide receivers ends with more receptions and yards for their new team? Thomas, Tate, or Cooper?
I think I like the Demaryius Thomas trade because it wasn't just for the sake of upgrading. They lost, Fuller? One of they actually lost a receiver. I think with his size and at 31, he was never a burner anyway. He was more of a primary target. I think Deshaun Watson will show his pleasure with that decision.
All right. The Browns finally got around to firing Hugh Jackson on Monday.
And sell.
The Cleveland to-do list came on the Cleveland to-do list right after. Find new general management. Spend money on scouting. Mow lawn. Put out fire on River. Then fire Hugh Jackson. The Browns have Baker Mayfield, the former Oklahoma Sooner Heisman winner. The Sooners have second-year head coach Lincoln Riley, who is only starting his fourth full year with the Sooners, but because it's the NFL, there's going to be more than just this Cleveland job opening for a head coaching position. My reckless speculation believes that Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa, and others will have openings this offseason. It's been a while since we've had a coach make the jump to the pros right into a head coaching job, so to me, it means we're due. What percent chance do you give Lincoln Riley jumping to the NFL?
Wow. Ever or the next
this year?
This coming year? Nah, I think he's got a good gig. He's young. He's wired in. That's a perfect job for him. But never say never. NFL money, especially for a young quarterback, could be very enticing. I'll say 15%.
Raiders 49ers on Thursday Night Football is the worst Thursday night game ever. There's a combined two wins between these two teams, which you normally only see in the first handful of weeks of the season. Both of these teams are horrible for different reasons. One is riddled with injuries to key position players. The other brought in a head coach who hadn't been in the NFL in 10 years and had been given the power to trade away whoever he wants. There's not a lot of hope for the Niners the rest of the season since Jimmy G won't be coming back, and there's not a lot of hope for the Vegas Raiders because they're just not good. I would say that someone has to win this game, but I think a 5-5 tie sounds like the perfect score.
Please, please.
What percent chance do you give the loser of this game getting a top three pick in the draft?
You're giving their defenses a lot of credit for getting two safeties.
How weird is it that they announced Bethard is out, the line doesn't move a stitch? I checked three sites, and I saw it on Twitter, and the Niners are still a 2.5-point pick.
How weird is it that Bethard is out, and they cut one of their other quarterbacks today, Tom Savage?
Is that the... like, ultimate what? Insult.
Wait a minute.
It's just, that's literally.
We just don't want you in the building.
It's really injury to insult. It's not insult to injury. So what was the question again?
What percent chance do you give the loser of this game getting the top three pick in the draft?
Getting a top three pick?
Yes.
Like 90%.
The dang Kentucky Wildcats are the number 11 team in the country. Their only loss of the season was 14-20 to Texas A&M. The last 2 weeks, they've been in nail biters, beating Vanderbilt 14-7 and then 15-14 over Mizzou. The Kentucky-Georgia game this weekend is just as important to the SEC East as Bama-LSU is to the SEC West. That's right, your Kentucky Wildcats are an upset win over Georgia away from being in the driver's seat for the SEC East title and the SEC championship game. Being a top team in the SEC means that Kentucky is going to be involved in a great bowl game late in the bowl season and could be even more of a Cinderella than UCF. What percent chance do you give Kentucky playing in a New Year's Day bowl game?
Whoa! Well, they've got to win this one.
Right.
By the way, how would you have liked to have had a $100 parlay beginning of the season, Kentucky to win the SEC East, and Washington State to win the Pac-12 North?
Goodness.
Ka-ching! What percentage? 25%. I think I like Uga to win this week.
All right. Back on September 20th, I asked you if Ryan Fitzmagic would start more than 6.5 games this year. You took the over, and you've nailed it. He's made 4 starts already, and now that Jameis Wade has played back to the bench, that is looking like a mortal lock. The bigger deal is, what are the Bucs going to do with Jameis? Winston has a 5th-year option on his contract that the Bucs have to deal with. They can save $20 million by not picking up that option, making him a free agent, or they sit him the whole season and they just don't pay him. That's what the Washington football franchise did with RG3 a couple years ago. The Bucs seem to be done with Winston, even if Winston wants to stay in Tampa. What percent chance do you think that Winston has played his last game for the Buccaneers?
Whoa, I don't know if he's played his last game because it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick. He may play some good ball, and they may start losing and realize, well, we might as well see what Winston is. So percentage of chance, I would say it's probably only about a 25% chance that he's played his last game in a Buck uniform.